Guten Morgen, Covenant Fellowship Church. This morning, we are going to be reading from Psalm 136. If you can, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Praise be to our God. Please sit and let us pray. Gracious, merciful, long-suffering, loving Heavenly Father, You have given us everything that we do not deserve. It is in You alone that we find our rest, our Sabbath. It is in You that we have our salvation. It is from You that our salvation flows. We pray this morning, O Father, that You would open our hearts to hear Your word, that we may hear Your word and have it applied to our lives and our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We ask that You would come and make Your word alive this morning through Your Holy Spirit to convict, to save, to heal. We pray that You would keep Your promise that Your word would be effectual to all, convicting to the believer, converting to the sinner, and to the building up of holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Lord, we ask for your grace this morning and every morning to be completely focused upon you. Illuminate your word to us, we pray, in the grace of your Son and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. For those who have studied hermeneutics, or how to study the Bible, or even how to read a book, one of the first things you will be taught is to look for repeated words and phrases. It can be very helpful in trying to find a main point that an author is trying to get across. This is not a special studies tool just for reading the Bible. We do this in everyday life. For example, parents, I'm sure you've heard your kids repeat things over and over and over to you, like, "Mom, I'm thirsty. Mom, I'm thirsty. Mom, I'm thirsty." On and on and on till you're sick of hearing it. Or children, I'm sure you've heard your parents tell you repeatedly, "Go clean your room. Go clean your room." And we all know what happens when you don't. I speak from a lot of experience of having my parents being upset with me for not listening. But why do we repeat these things? We do it so that people do not forget. We do it so that it is there. We know what the main point is. And so in this passage this morning, we see what is important to the psalmist, the author of Psalm 136. 26 times he repeats, "For his steadfast love endures forever." First, though, there are three times in the beginning of this passage, and one time in the end, he repeats, "Give thanks to God." So I think the author is making his point clearly to us this morning. Give thanks to God because his steadfast love endures forever. And in this passage, we're going to break it down into five sections this morning. The first section is in verses 1 through 3. That's, we will give thanks to God for his substance, who he is. The second section, in verses 4 through 9, give thanks to God for his supremacy. Next, in verses 10 through 16, give thanks to God for his salvation. And in verses 17 through 22, give thanks to God for his sanctification. And finally, in verses 23 through 26, give thanks to God for his sustainment. Again, that is, give thanks to God for his substance, verses 1 through 3. Give thanks to God for his supremacy, verses 4 through 9. Give thanks to God for his salvation, verses 10 through 16. Give thanks to God for his sanctification, verses 17 through 22. And finally, give thanks to God for his sustainment, verses 23 through 26. So starting off in this passage, in the first three verses, we can see the emotion and the feeling that the psalmist is trying to get across to us. It is a joyful, it is a thanksgiving. The psalmist wants us to be overflowing with the thanksgiving. Three times here, the author asks us to give thanks to the Lord for who he is. It is his essence, his being, his substance of God. The psalmist specifically brings out three things. First, he asks us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Have we stopped to think about that? That's something that we might hear repeatedly. God is good. We hear it in Sunday school classes or in catechisms. But if we asked, why is God good? Because the psalmist gives us an answer in these verses. For his steadfast love endures forever. How many times in life have we looked at things and said, "Ooh, that looks good"? It could be maybe a kiss from your spouse after being away from them. Maybe it could be you're seeing your children. Or maybe it's a big trip you have planned. Or kids, maybe it's that big cone of ice cream you've seen that looks just really tasty. All those are good things. But something that none of those have is they do not endure forever. That is why the psalmist is pointing this out. The goodness of God is greater than all other things. It endures forever. God's goodness is not dependent on our successes, our failures, our strengths, or our weaknesses. It endures forever because it is who God is. He cannot change. He cannot not be good. It is his very nature to have his undying, never-ending, long-suffering love given to us. As good as anything else in this world might be, nothing is as good as God alone. Next, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist brings up 2 points about who God is. First, that God is the God of gods, and the second, that he is Lord of lords. There is no one higher. There is no other name under heaven. As Moses stated in Deuteronomy, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." He is God of God and Lord of lords. Quickly, I want to make a quick note here. This is not affirming that there are other gods or other lords that are even comparable. Passages such as Galatians 4:8 and Isaiah 44:6 make that abundantly clear, and I recommend you look them up later. But this passage is affirming there is no other God made by human hands or by demonic forces that even come close to the power of our God. A small analogy for what, you know, God of gods and Lord of lords is, and this analogy will break down, so we're not going to push it too far. And I hope that for those who are not associated with the military can understand the analogy, so I apologize if it's too much, but it's similar to here at Stuttgart. We have a general of generals, goes by the name General Wolters. He's a four-star general. He is the leader of the United States European Command and the supreme commander of allied forces of NATO. There are other generals, but he is the top general. There are none others who have his authority, power, or responsibility. He is a general of generals, as it were. If he says, jump, all the soldiers, the airmen, marines, sailors, guardians, all start jumping, and they will ask questions later. Unlike the general, our God is far above all other rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. The general has to obey laws and commands from their superiors, like presidents and prime ministers. And generals do not last forever. They grow old, and empires grow and die, as any history class or history book might tell us. However, our God, he is above all nations, all worlds, all peoples, all powers, empires, and everything that is made. He is the greatest. He is the one who sets up and tears down rulers and those in power. He is the Lord our God. We shall not have any other God before him, because his steadfast love endures forever. None other can say that. So how does the substance of God apply to us directly? This should change how we worship. This should change what we're focused on. We should be focused on that ultimate good, the Lord. We should be the little life that should remind us of the greatest good of God himself. So today, this morning, as in every morning, let's worship God. Let's focus on him. Moving into the next section, the author of this psalm moves on in verse 4 onto the supremacy of our God. That is, he is supreme over all creation. Look at how the author uses the phrase, "to him who." He has it 4 times in these next set of verses. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who, by understanding, made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights. The author is clear about to whom we are to give thanks. The psalmist shows us that one way that God's love endures forever is through his work of creation. And we see here there are two modes of existence. There are two things in existence: the creator and the creation, the potter and his clay. And many of these creations are more powerful than any of us humans. For example, he mentions the sun in this passage. Have you ever looked directly at the sun? Probably not. It hurts your eyes. And can we do anything to dim the light of the sun? Maybe we can put up some shade, put on some sunscreen, protect us for a little bit. But those are all temporary. We cannot inherently change the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the oceans, the earth, let alone the rest of the universe. They are all so much greater than you and I. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth, have all existed before we got here and will exist long after we go back into the earth and to dust become again. However, compared to our God, they are nothing. They will not endure forever. They cannot continue to exist on their own. They need God. There is nothing they can do in and of themselves. They completely rely on our Lord and his understanding to uphold them with his steadfast love. Creation itself is an outworking of his love. Matthew 5:45 shows us that God makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So as we go through this life and we see the natural world and the beauty that God has created, this should remind us to give thanks to the Lord our God. Whether we're standing at a beach overlooking the ocean, or standing at the Alps looking up at the Eiger and the Jungfrau, or looking at the stars and the moon, or even just hearing the birds and seeing the nice plants here in Stuttgart, all of it should cause us to worship the Lord our God. It should remind us of his goodness. The English poet John Milton summarized it very well when he said, "He, the golden tressed sun, caused all day his course to run, the horned moon to shine by night, mid her spangled sisters bright. All living things he doth feed, his full hand supplies their need. Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind. For his mercies they endure, ever faithful, ever sure." So after showing us the supremacy of God over creation, the psalmist wants us to give thanks to God for his salvation. In the next set of verses, the author brings out three to him whose. First, in verse 10, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And next, in verse 13, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. And finally, in verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness. These are three more reasons to give thanks to the Lord our God. Here, the psalmist is talking about the salvation of Israel from Egypt. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 6, the way Egypt is described as a land of sin and slavery, Moses writes, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." The psalmist is trying to point us to a picture to remember the sin, the slavery, the death. Egypt is a picture of the world. It is a picture of us being drawn out and drawn into salvation. He starts here on verse 10 with that final plague, There was the 10th plague that hit Egypt, where there was a striking down of the firstborn of every household, of every animal. And then he moves to the rest of the Exodus as the people leave Egypt, traveling through the wilderness, coming to the Red Sea, trapped by Pharaoh and his hosts of armies. But God opens the Red Sea with a mighty and outstretched arm, opening it in two for the Israelites to cross. And when the Pharaoh and his hosts tried to follow, God destroyed them in the sea. These events are there to remind us, even to this day, of God's salvation. At that time, in the Old Covenant, they had the Passover to remember that first night, that 10th plague. But today, we have the fully realized salvation of our Lord. And we remember this through the Lord's Supper, which we will do next week. Christians, we have been saved, called out of the world, out of that slavery, that sin, that death, and into his marvelous light. We, every Lord's Day, remember the Lord's salvation won for us. He is the one that saves us. We are like the children of Israel. How much more for us, knowing that full salvation, not just out of a physical bondage, but out of a spiritual bondage, out of spiritual death, and given new spiritual life, should that not give us more reason to praise our God and give thanks to our Lord? How much more does a steadfast love endure forever? Our thankfulness for our salvation from the Lord should cause us to seek him every day, cause us to praise him every day. Historically, many Christians have had different ways of doing that. There have been many Christians who have prayed 5 times a day, or maybe you're familiar with the 3 times a day that many Western Christians do it, typically with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Those are great examples of us to remember to praise the Lord. Let me encourage you, however you lay up the words of the Lord in your heart and in your soul, and however you shall bind them on the sign of your hands and on the frontlets of your eyes, as Deuteronomy 11:18 puts it, that we should be thanking the Lord with our deeds, what we do, with our actions, with our beliefs, and with our words. We need to praise God daily for our salvation that he secured for us. Moving on in the passage, verses 17 through 22, the psalmist wants us to give thanks to God for his sanctification. And that is the making us into the image of his Son, making us more holy. Now, before you're like Jake, in this passage, he's talking about Canaan and these kings of Sihon and Og, the Amorites, and from Bashan. Let me remind us that the picture of the redemption of people through the promised land, the conquering of Canaan, is a picture of our spiritual life through salvation. So remember what has happened so far in the passage. We have the creation of the world. We have God saving his people out of Egypt. And now God is leading them into the promised land to make them more holy along the way and give them rest. However, what is in that promised land? There is sin. There are still that remaining evil people that live there. And the people must remove that remaining sin from the land. However, we know through the Old Testament, they were not able to always do that. They were constantly fighting that sin. But as the psalmist points out, it is God who is removing it for them. He struck down, he killed the mighty kings, he gave the land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. God did all of this using the Israelites to defeat the enemies of God, to defeat the sin in that land. And it is God alone who gets the praise. Why? Because through it all, his steadfast love endures forever. Now, maybe, like myself, You don't remember who Sihon, king of the Amorites, or Og, king of Bashan were from your Sunday school classes? I don't remember it being a very popular topic growing up. And they are mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. We're not going to flip to all those. You can write down. Numbers 21 mentions both of them. And what they did specifically to the people of God was try to actively prevent them from entering the promised land. Were they able to accomplish this? Never. Why? Because the steadfast love of our Lord endures forever. They cannot stop the people from receiving their heritage, their rest, their Sabbath. And today, we still have those enemies we fight. The world, the flesh, the devil. All three are working together to prevent us from trying to reach that final promised land, that eternal Sabbath. But all three of them have already been defeated by our Lord. It is by Him who leads us out of sin and death, by Him who strikes down that sin, and by Him who continues to remove these evils from our lives and continues to sanctify us and keep us in Himself. We must mortify the flesh, the old man, and vivify or make alive that new man in Christ. We must be made holy. So, seek after God. When you rise, when you go to bed, seek Him. I think one of the most easy and practical ways we can do this, and I fail at this all the time, is through scripture memorization. I know it's so easy to get distracted by things in the world. When I get busy at work, when I'm stressed by traveling or a stow while I'm driving around, it is so easy to get distracted and not remember the promises of our Lord. But if we memorize scripture, keep it in our hearts, and it's constantly on our hearts, on our minds, it makes it so much easier for us to seek the Lord at all times. So let us memorize His word, because His steadfast love endures forever. Finally here, verses 23 through 26, the psalmist wants us to give thanks to God for His sustaining of our lives. It is He who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, and He who gives food to all flesh. And so we must give thanks to the God of heaven. There is nothing that we do in our lives that is completely on our own. Did we have any agency about coming into this world? It's a decision your parents made. Children, did you have any agency in what you ate for breakfast this morning? Probably not. Your parents probably told you what you were going to eat. There are so many things we don't have agency for. We get in the car and start driving. We don't know how many styles of traffic are there going to be. How many cameras are there going to be set up on my route? And if we don't have such agency over these little things, who does? It is God. It is He who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us. It is He who gives food to all flesh. This goes for all of creation. God is in control. He sustains all of it. Pastor Nick preached on Hebrews 1 last Sunday evening. He, when he was speaking of Christ, quoted Hebrews 1 saying, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power." He upholds the entire creation, the universe, by a single word. How could that not cause us to do anything but to worship God? The rocks will cry out if we do not. We can take so much comfort in this. There's so much that we can put into trust and faith. Christ states, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For our life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Christian, church, you are worth so much more. Christ died for you. His steadfast love endures forever to you. He gives food to all flesh. He cares for you. He sustains both the godly and the ungodly. Why? For his steadfast love endures forever. He cannot not be good. Everything in our life, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, then must be for the glory of God. For from him we continue to exist at all. His grace alone is what upholds us in the tough times. And it is through his grace alone that we receive any and all things that are good. There are so many tough things in this life that batter us, that keep us down. Family members that are sick, that are ill. Those whom we love, who have not repented and turned to the Lord. Us looking for the Lord's return. Maranatha. And through each of these things, we are called to remember that the Lord is good, and through it all, that his steadfast love endures forever. So we have an opportunity in those times of pain in our lives, the times where we're suffering, the times where we're crying out for relief, to remember that the Lord is good. This is an opportunity for us to remember and worship our God. If you don't know what else to do in those times, let me encourage you. Sing these psalms. Read these psalms. Pray these psalms. They are an encouragement to us. So Christians, church, as we close the proclamation of the word today, let us do what the psalmist implores us to do. Let us give thanks to the God of heavens, for it is in his being that he is good. It is a substance that his steadfast love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the God of heaven, for it is in his supremacy over all of creation that his steadfast love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the God of heaven, for it is from him that we receive salvation, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the God of gods, for it is in him that we are sanctified, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the Lord of lords, for it is in him who sustains everything, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, may we seek your face today as every day, by giving you thanks. May we know you better, know you more, by reading your scriptures, by seeing your love everywhere in our lives. Lord, there are times where we find it difficult to see your love. Lord, apply this truth to our hearts. Write it on our hearts that we will constantly know. We will constantly remember that your steadfast love endures. Bless us this week by your word and by the power of your spirit. And in the name of your son, we pray. Amen. All right, we will close this afternoon by singing hymn number 674. I need thee every hour. It's hymn 674. Please stand. Was I wrong on that? 455. I don't know where I got my numbers. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, bless us and keep us. Keep us thankful to you this day and every day. May we go forth this week remembering your steadfast love. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.